Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Last Sunday, we began our fall sermon series on Paul's letter to the Philippians, with Paul reassuring his friends at Philippi that his imprisonment at Rome has really turned out for the good. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Paul is in prison because enemies of the Christian faith have accused him of many crimes, especially sedition against the Roman Empire. The charges against him are all false, but if there is a miscarriage of justice, as indeed there was when the founder of the Christian faith himself was put on trial before the Roman authority, Paul could be put to death just as he had been. In today's epistle reading, Paul says that even if he is put to death, that too will serve to advance the cause of Christ. But in the end, he concludes that because he still has important work to do in this world, he will remain free for a time. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Tradition tells us that Paul's conclusion was correct, that he was indeed not put to death at this time, but was set free after his trial and had a few more years of missionary work before being brought back to Rome during the Christian persecution by Emperor Nero, and at that time, suffering martyrdom for Christ. You are invited to follow along the sermon outline on the last pages of the bulletin as we look especially at Paul's beautiful declaration, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Point number one, as long as the Lord gives you life in this world, you do have an important purpose, so live with zeal for Christ. Paul says he desires to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But he tells the Philippians, it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. Paul feels that he still has work to do, and so he believes the Lord will not yet take him to heaven. Paul shows us that looking forward to heaven does not mean you are disinterested in your life in this world. Your life here also is a precious gift from God. And just like Paul, the Lord has put you in this world right where you are for a purpose. The Lord has things to accomplish through your life in this world, through your work, through your marriage and family, through your witness for him in word and deed, for your service to him in his church. Paul puts it this way, "For to me, to live is Christ." As long as the Lord gives you life in this world, you do have an important purpose, so live with zeal for Christ. Point number two, when the Lord does take you to eternal life, die with peace in Christ. As Paul says, to die is gain. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. To die is gain for you, because your sins are all forgiven, and you shall have eternal life. As Paul says in Colossians, God the Father has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Because of his merit, his perfect life, his sacrificial death on the cross, and his resurrection, you are redeemed. Your sins are all forgiven. Because of his merit, you are qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. As Jesus promises, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though he dies, yet shall he live. To die is gain for you, because the sorrows and troubles and heartaches and disappointments of this life will be no more. Revelation says simply, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. That's what life in this world so often is, a great tribulation. But of heaven, Revelation says, God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. They shall rest from their labors. To die is gain for you, because in heaven you will have perfect peace and eternal joy. Isaiah says, they will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Psalm 126 says, then will our mouths be filled with laughter, and our tongues with songs of joy. To die is gain for you, because in heaven you will be reunited with your loved ones who have fallen asleep in Jesus. As Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, about those who fall asleep, or to grieve in the same manner as the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. And so we shall be forever with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Paul sums up the theme of today's sermon in Romans. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Follow the example of Paul. As long as the Lord gives you life in this world, you do have an important purpose. So live with zeal for Christ. And when the Lord does take you to eternal life, die with peace in Christ. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Amen.